This is Mordency with a Hacker Public Radio episode. The following is an interview with the founder of NotAcon, which I recorded last summer. I thought the recording was lost, but recently found it on an old SD card. So enjoy. Hello, this is Mordency with Hacker Public Radio, and I'm interviewing Froggy from the Nerd Nook, who is the CEO for NotAcon.
I like to call myself a founder.
Founder, okay. So for everybody who's not attended, what is NotAcon?
Well, NotAcon is essentially what hacking conventions are all about. You know, we try to distill hacking down into its base form. In terms of how to do things with technology and other things that it wasn't originally intended to do. At NotAcon, we focus on three different kind of, our motto consists of basically three different words: community, creativity, and technology. We like to find communities of people that like to creatively apply technologies in all of its various forms. So we try to bring people together who are interested in doing stuff, not necessarily talking about stuff or seeing something being done. We're all about doers.
So participating.
Absolutely.
Being part of the community.
Correct.
Which is exactly what Hacker Public Radio is all about.
Well, and it's actually why we call people who come to our event participants and not attendees. We realize that there's a really big difference between between simply being somewhere and being a part of something. So we are very clear to make that distinction.
So this year was NotAcon 9. It was my first time for attending. And one of the things I noticed that I haven't seen at other events is that all the badges are circuit boards. So can you tell us how you chose that as a...
Sure. Well, and I have to admit, we weren't the ones that kind of invented that. There were a lot of other cons, including DEF CON, that did it first. But I really liked the idea because it exemplified to me what we're all about. We're all about people doing things and creating things and building things. Our take was a little different than some of the other cons, and a lot of the badges like DEF CON had the core of their badge pre-built. A core concept of ours was to have as much of it as possible built by the user so that they can go through the process of, well, here's how to make a good solder joint. You know, here's how to work with somebody else who has a little more expert to get that mentoring down. So, you know, we've tried a different versions. We've had an Arduino badge, and we've had a PIC-based badge. And every year we try to do something a little different, but we chose the hardware badge because it let us get a lot of flexibility in terms of trying to spread our message and what we're all about. It can also look pretty damn cool, so you can't argue that.
I cannot. I really loved putting mine together, and I'm trying to figure out more things to play around with it at.
And that's why we do it, absolutely.
So can you think of any of the coolest things that you can remember seeing people do with their badges?
Well, a couple years back, with the Arduino badge, we had people do some really awesome things. One person turned theirs into a fully autonomous robot, which I thought was awesome. They went down to Radio Shack, bought some gears and some wheels and some motors, and built a robot. Another friend of mine, Luis, put two badges together with their breadboards and managed to do a sound, basically a sound synthesizer. He put on the sound chip from a Sega Genesis and managed to do fully synthesized voices through that. One of the coolest things was that he didn't actually leave enough room on the breadboard to do all he wanted to do. So he used the Arduino to actually do the waveforms for him. So he used the pulse width modulation inside the Arduino to generate a lot of the sound functionality that he was going to do on chip somewhere else. So I thought that was really cool.
Very interesting.
But we always like to put plenty of room on the breadboard for blinky lights and other stuff because you can't go wrong with a blinky light.
So out of the 9 years of NotAcon, what year has been your favorite badge?
We've only done the hardware badges 2 years. Both badges were great in their own respects. I really don't know if I can pick one over the other because they both had disadvantages and advantages. I'm really excited about the NotAcon 10 badge, which hasn't been released yet and is still in development. Krunal Desai, who was one of our presenters last year, agreed to do our badge for next year. which will be 32-bit probably, designed on an MSP, and will offer us a lot of power and a lot of flexibility. We're going to post the design and the specs early so people can have their own shields and code and development already before they get to the con. Because one of the other things we realize is that we don't want people to dedicate their entire weekend to sitting down and programming their badges, since there's so many other awesome things we want them to do as well. Hopefully we can get people to bring code bases that are ready for their badges so they can hit the ground running and start to enhance their code with other people's code.
So one of the things I noticed beyond the normal talks at an event was the contests on the last night of the show.
Yes, our Pixel Jam demo party, yeah.
Yeah, so can you tell me a little bit about the contest and the different...
I'll be happy to. Demo parties don't really originate in the United States, actually. They originated in Europe back in the late 70s and 80s, mainly as ways for demo coders and demo groups who wrote the graphical cracks in the beginning of Apple II games and all that other kind of stuff. So instead of just cracking the game for the sake of cracking it, they realized, well, we can actually start a community around people who just develop these awesome little bits of code and that generate graphics and audio as a way to one-upsmanship. I became aware of the demo scene in the late 80s, early 90s, and it really kind of congealed for me when I saw Second Reality by the group Future Crew, which was developed for assembly in 1993 in Finland. Since then, I've always I've appreciated everybody who's been in the demo scene. I've really kind of looked up to them and admired them. And since I really haven't done much demo coding, I thought, well, the best thing I could do was to support demo parties. We were able to do that initially through the help of Jason Scott and Radman from Acid, and they ran Block Party at Nauticon starting in 2007. A few years back, they decided to kind of do their own thing. So we decided to keep the tradition alive with our own event called Pixel Jam that was in the same spirit. And what essentially this consists of are competitions on various things, anything from photography to badge hacking to demos, which are essentially 3D graphics, usually 3D, basically rendered real-time demonstrations of what they can get the computer to do, whether it's to, you know, be the fastest in rendering polygons, or to see how much programming they can throw into 64 kilobytes or 4 kilobytes or even 1 kilobyte of space. So we try to encourage this kind of creativity because that's essentially what we were all about initially.
I was very impressed watching it all. It was,
there was a lot of great entries, and we opened it up to people that weren't at the event, which is a little bit of unusual, but we like to encourage our European friends to help kind of educate us and how to build our own demo scene here in the U.S. Currently, there's only a few demo parties going on besides ourselves and At Party, which takes place in Boston. It's kind of a latent art form, but it really is what hacking is all about. I like to think of it as that what hacker culture is in the United States is what demo culture is in Europe. You know, it's the same feeling, the same sense of community. They're just kind of doing it in a different way that we're doing hacking here in the U.S. But it's all the same concept and spirituality.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So the talks... do you make those available to the public? Are they recorded?
Yes, we're very proud to have all of our talks online. I think we have all of the audio recordings going back to Nauticon 1. We have video starting at Nauticon 3. All of that's available at nauticonmedia.com. We still haven't put up a mirror to our most recent talks, but our good friend Iron Geek has them available at his website, irongeek.com, I think. And we'll be mirroring those shortly as well, or torrenting or whatever. But all of those are freely available under Creative Commons license. You can take them, share them with your friends, show them wherever you want. We actively encourage it, as a matter of fact.
So for everybody who's ready and waiting for the next Nauticon, when is Nauticon 10?
If my memory serves me right, it will be April 18th through the 21st. In April 2013, it will be again at the Hilton Garden Inn in Cleveland, Ohio, right downtown. It will be, as you mentioned, it'll be our 10th year. All of the information will soon be available on our website, nauticon.org. We're still in the process of revamping and launching before DEF CON. So more information will be available there. We always throw stuff on our Twitter feed at Nauticon. And you can also follow me at Froggy Nauticon. And I try to post some stuff on Nauticon every now and then and updates.
A quick note to Lord Dragon Blue to do not schedule Indiana Linux Fest on the same weekend.
I would appreciate it. I know there's only so many weekends in the year, but I try not to cannibalize other cons in the area. And I appreciate when other people try to give us that same consideration.
Okay. And one of the Hacker Public Radios that I plan on recording is What's in My Bag, you know, a list of the little gadgets and stuff that I carry around with me. And it just so happens that a lot of these gadgets that I have purchased from you.
Thank you.
Could you tell everybody a little bit about your company, too?
Sure. Well, I started Nerds & Nook actually a few years back. It was originally called just the Nauticon Store. I became unemployed, and I decided the best thing to do was to spend a lot of money and try to run my own business. And run my own store, selling stuff that I thought was awesome. I figured if I thought it was awesome, other people would too. I've done fairly well, but unfortunately not well enough to call it a career, so I've recently found another full-time job, but I'm still keeping the store alive and going. We sell lasers and handheld emulators, candy, plush, just all kinds of random stuff. Gadgets, tools, soldering irons, as well as our Nauticon badges and parts kits, so that people can get started in that as well.
And another one of the things that I bought was a beginner's electronics kit from Velium?
Velman, I think.
Velman. It has two little projects in it, and I'll be recording a separate Hacker Public Radio on how I got into electronics and the kits that I purchased from you.
And it's important with electronics, if you really don't know what you're doing, to start small, because you're going to make a mess and, you know, make some really bad cold solder joints. And I actually recently put together my Nauticon 8 badge, finally. And I realized how rusty I was at soldering. Everything was a cold solder joint, so I had to go back and do it again. But once I got into the hang of it, I was really proud of how it looked. And it looked pretty decent, so I'm looking forward to programming that finally and doing it. One of the difficult things about an organizer is you really don't have time to play with your own stuff at the con. You're so busy helping people out and answering questions and talking with people that you don't get a whole lot of time to enjoy the other parts of the con. So doing things like this and working, you know, talking with a participant in Nauticon, it's a great opportunity for me to actually see what else is going on that I missed, since there's always so much going on.
And so we're here at BayCon. I don't think I mentioned that at the beginning, which is the Columbus Bacon Convention. So what do you think of it?
Well, this is our second year here. We're having a great time. Obviously, we're kind of stuck here in the vendor's room for 3 days, 10 hours a day. But the people are great, and a lot of people swung by and talked about Nauticon and other cons in the area. It's just a good celebration of geekdom and bacon, two things that go swimmingly well together. So, and it's
absolutely
helped that some of the bacon fairies have come around and made sure that we got samples of the treats before they disappeared in the concert.
Well, I want to thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to interview you, and hopefully this will be up on Hacker Public Radio soon, and I look forward to Nauticon next year.
Sounds real good, and perhaps we can have Hacker Public Radio come and participate with our own radio project, Nauticon Radio. We do live streaming during that whole event too, so it might be a good way to get Hacker Public Radio folks involved as well.
Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much. Take care.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.